Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 970, Prapitamaha, which means the great grandfather. Pitamaha refers to one's father's father, and Prapitamaha, great grandfather. Vishnu Sahasranama is, of course, being spoken by Bhishma Pitamaha. He's referred to as Pitamaha because he was as if the grandfather of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Pitamaha often refers to Brahma. We'll see how this extends. First of all, a comment from Sri Madhvacharya in his Bhagavat Tatparya Nirnay. He quotes from Varaha Purana to say that Lakshmi Devi, the mother of everyone, meditates upon Vishnu or sees Vishnu or considers Vishnu as her husband. The four-headed Brahma sees Vishnu as his father. All other devatas should meditate on Vishnu as their grandfather, and all others as great-grandfather. It goes like this. Four-faced Brahma is called Pitamaha because he created the Prajapatis. To them he's the father, and they created all other beings. So all other beings look up to the Prajapatis as their father, and the father of the Prajapatis is Brahma. Therefore, he is the grandfather and the source of Brahma, the father of Brahma, is Bhagavan Vishnu. So therefore, he is known as Prapitamaha. We find in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Narad Muni approaching Brahma, his father, and saying that, well, we don't see anyone greater than you, or you seem to be the father of everyone, but you meditate on what or who? Is there some greater principle than you? And then Brahma confirms to Narad that he is born of Narayana. This also we find in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, when Brahma, chapter 14, full of many important verses, Brahma prays to Krishna, having done the reckless act of stealing Krishna's cowherd boys and calves, Brahma comes to apologize, and in the course of that, he establishes that Krishna, when praying to Krishna, he establishes that although Brahma is born of Narayana, the very source of Narayana is Krishna himself. So Vishnu created Brahma, gave him the knowledge by which he could create the universe, and gave him the job. Okay, do it. Then Brahma created all the devas and rishis and on, all the living beings. Shankaracharya explains it like this also. From the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada in this introduction quotes from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Prapitamaha. Srila Prabhupada writes, "One should therefore be intelligent enough to know that the Lord is the only proprietor of everything in the universe and that he is the original creator, the creator of Brahma. In the 11th chapter, the Lord is addressed as Prapitamaha, because Brahma is addressed as Pitamaha, the grandfather, and he, Vishnu, is the creator of the grandfather. So, no one should claim to be the proprietor of anything. One should accept only those things which are set aside for him by the Lord as his quota for his maintenance. So, as usual, Srila Prabhupada is not just stating some philosophical facts, but he links it to how we should live in this world. So understanding that this whole world comes from Krishna, we should not act as if it belongs to us. He's given us various things which we can use for our maintenance, but we shouldn't think it all belongs to me. Now, there is a completely different unpacking of this name by one commentator, Sri Raghunath Tirtha. Instead of saying Prapitamaha, the one before the grandfather, he splits up the words differently. Prapi, Tama, and Haha. And then he analyzes all this in a taking all the Sanskrit and takes it to mean that he who kills the sinful demons who have false knowledge and throws them in the darkness. Completely different, because the Sanskrit is looked at in a different way. Instead of pra before Pitamaha, grandfather, we have Prapi, Tama, Haha. Our own Gaudiya commentator, Baladev Vidyabhushan, takes, as we saw in discussing the previous name, Sapita instead of Savita, and interprets the word Sapita as two names, Sa and Pita. Now, he also breaks this up in a different way. And instead of Prapita Maha, he has Prapita, means an excellent father. An excellent father, because he just, with the previous name he gave to mean Pita, and he's a very good father. Pita Prapita, very good father, because he doesn't just generate them, all the living beings, but he nourishes them as well. And then he takes Maha as a separate name to mean light, luminous, just like we have Jyotihi, one of the names in Vishnu Sahasranam. He is light, God is light. Going on to name 971, Yajna, this name came previously in Vishnu Sahasranam, and we have 12 names of either using the word yajna, they all have the word yajna in them, or very similar. So we have now yajna 971 followed by yajnapati, followed by yajva, then yajnanga, yajnavahanaha, yajnabhrit, yajnakrit, Yagni, Yagyabhuk, Yagnasadhana, Yagyantakrit, and Yagyaguhyam. And then two more names, Anna and Anada, which are also connected with the concept of Yagya. So we're going to have a lot of overlapping in discussing these names. 400 and something. It was in the 48th verse. The name is Yajna, or the word Yajna, is derived from the root Yaj. And it can mean to sacrifice, is the common meaning. to make an oblation to, very similar, to give. And one meaning somewhat different is to associate with. So in this way, the word yajna can be understood in various ways. The general meaning that yajna is the Vedic method of worshipping Vishnu by offering of ghee, grains, other things maybe such as spices and fruit, into the sacred fire, accompanied by the chanting of mantras. And this word is commonly translated into English as sacrifice. I discussed this in detail in the previous occurrence of this name. According to the Amarakosh dictionary, the word yajna is derived from the Sanskrit word yaj, the simple meaning of which is to worship. It can be understood in various ways. In the Purusha Sukta of the Rig Veda, we learn that the demigods, after being created by the Purush, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, desired to worship him through the system of yajna. And then by their desire, their meditation, their contemplation, they offered him, the Lord himself, as the first oblation for the creation of the universe. This was the first ever yajna, was at the beginning of the universe when the demigods, of course, the demigods were created by Brahma, but ultimately by him. So the first yajna, yat purushena havisha deva yajnam atanvata. And from this yajna, this first ever yajna in the universe, emerged the first elements of life, the first dharmas, tani dharmani pratamam yasan. All the Puranas describe how the yajnas have their basis in the Supreme Lord. Particularly, they emanate from the body of Yajna Varaha. The form of Varaha is especially associated with yajnas. Yajna Varahasya Shariram Yajyatam Agat. This is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll get through to this, how the very body of Varaha is equated with yajnas. So he is yajna, that is his name. His very nature is yajna. Yajna means offering. So everything he does for others. He gives. Yajna means giving. So he does everything for others. Sri Madhvacharya shows that Vishnu is called yajna because he enjoys himself without anyone's help. Yajnas are performed to get help from others, from the demigods, ultimately from Vishnu. But he doesn't need to perform yajna because it's inherent in himself. He doesn't need anyone's help. So we have yajna means that which is offered, he who is worshipped, the means or objects used in the worship, in the yajna. This is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, chapter 24. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanahutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. Literally, it means that Brahman is the instrument to offer with. What is offered is spiritual. Srila Prabhupada here translates as spiritual. It literally means Brahman. Brahman is the oblation. Via the media of Brahma, the oblation is offered into the fire of Brahman. And it is Brahman who is that object to be reached by he who meditates on Brahman within his works. I discuss this in some detail, this section from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita covering sacrifice. I discuss this in some detail in my previous talk in Vishnu Sahasranam in Yajna. We have also in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he's discussing about work. We have to do work. And as I discussed in the last talk, in some detail, all work in Vedic culture culminates in Yajna. So I'll read Srila Prabhupada's, I'll read from the third chapter and Srila Prabhupada's translations of those verses. And for more elucidation, please read Bhagavad Gita as it is with the purports. Yagyarthat karmano nyatra loko yang karma bandhanaha tad artang karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Saha yagya praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam eshavo srishta kama duk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuvaha parasparang bhavayanta shreyaf paramabhapsyata. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yagya bhavitaha tairdatan apradayaibhyo yo bhunte stena eva saha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, will supply all necessities to you, but he who enjoys such gifts without offering to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Yagya shishtashina santo muchante sarvakil vishai bhunjate te dvagam papa ye pachantyatma karanat. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepared food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhavaha yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. All living entities, all living bodies, subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Karma brahmod bhavam vidhi, brahmakshara samudbhavam, tasmat sarvagatam brahma, nityam yajne pachishtitam. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Evang pravartitang chakram nanu varta yatihaya aghayur indriyaramo moghang parta sajivati. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So we find throughout Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaking on the importance of yajna. He states that even in the liberated state, or even when one has accepted sannyas, yajna is not to be given up. That means the performance of yajna, and it can be taken that Krishna is not to be given up. The whole attitude of yajna, let me offer myself to Krishna. This is the very essence of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna wanted Arjuna to perform the sacrifice of, well, fighting for him and of giving himself fully to Krishna. Previously, Parasha Bhatta explained this name in the previous instance, that he is the Bhagavan, is the object of all yajnas, the bestower of the benefits of yajnas. He is all the aids for the performance of the yajna, such as the shruk and the shrava and the ghee and the fire and the mantras and so on and so on. Yajna tat sadhana tat phala vadhidvena pratipaditaha ato yajna. He quoted from Vishnu Purana to support this, where the ija or sacrifice is described as the basis for the sustenance of all the three worlds. Tatas cheja ahuti dwara poshitas te havir bhujaha. Vrishte karanatam yanti bhutanam stitiye punaha. The oblations are offered into the fire to the gods, who are nourished by those offerings, and they cause the rains to fall for the support of the created beings. So there we have the chakra, the karma chakra, which we just referred to in the Bhagavad Gita, that people work to produce grains and ghee, and then they offer that in the fire to the demigods, who cause rains to fall. And the rains are also required so that people, their work will result in grains and ghee. That's a simplification of the whole process. Directly in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, Aham kratur, aham yajna, swadhaham, aham aushadham, mantroham, aham eva jam, aham agnir, aham hutam. I am the kratu. Kratu is a particular kind of sacrifice we've seen in Vishnu Sahasranam. And he is the yajna, all different kinds of yajna. He is the offering to the pitris. He is the herb, the mantra, the ghee, the fire, the oblation. So this verse clarifies, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi, that direct is directly Krishna. Again, we have in Gita, throughout Gita, Krishna speaks about yajna. A very important verse. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha natu mama bijananti tatvena tascevanti te. I am the only enjoyer and the only lord of all sacrifices. Those who do not recognize me in my own true nature fall down. Then the Shruti Vakya, Yajyo Vai Vishnuhu, Yajna is Vishnu. For the current instance of this name, Parasha Bhatta explains that Bhagavan, he covers up the function of the Yajna for those who do not have the means to perform Yajnas. It's very complex to perform Yajnas. And it requires, especially the bigger yajnas, requires wealth. But for those who can't do it, they just don't have the means to do so. But they may not have the physical strength or the Vedic initiation due to caste strictures. For them, Parasha Bhatta says, he covers up everything for those who do nam japa. He is pleased with nam japa. And in Gita, Lord Krishna says, yajnanam japa yajnosmi. We are very concerned to do big yajnas, big fire, big mantras. But Krishna says, among all the yajnas, among all the sacrifices, I am the sacrifice of chanting the holy name. From the purport of this verse, Gita, well, this one line comes in Gita chapter 10, text 25. Srila Prabhupada says that of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the purest representation of Krishna. Sometimes animal sacrifices are recommended, but in the sacrifice of Hare Krishna, there is no question of violence. It is the simplest and the purest. In the previous names, in some of the previous names, the topic of yajna has been discussed, such as Saptajiva, Saptaidha. But these were related to Vishnu being the support of the regular fire sacrifices. But in this current series of names, it's specifically the Vaishnav commentators specifically refer to it as he, Vishnu, being the support for those who want to worship him, but for whatever reason are unable to perform yajnas in this strict Vedic manner, which brings to mind the whole process of Pancharatrik Vidhi. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains this name in the same way. He, Vishnu, Krishna, is the very founder, you could say, of the path of bhakti. And he, Vishnu, is the means of various kinds of worship for the devotees who don't have anything, who don't have wealth, or maybe they may not even have deep knowledge of mantras and tantras. In the previous instance of the name, Baladev Vidyabhushan referred to Vishnu's birth as Yajna. The name was given to him, Yajna, as the son of Ruchi and Akuti. Yajna, Yajna, Yajna. Sarva Yajna Hoite Krishna Nama Yajnasa. Among all the Yajnas, the very essence is that of chanting the names of Krishna. We know very well, we've heard it so many times from Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastras Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Krishna appears in this Kali Yuga not in a black form. He appears with all his associates, weapons, and persons in this Kali Yuga who are very intelligent worship him through the sacrifice of Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Sankirtan Pravartak Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sankirtan Jagya Tare Bhaja Shedana. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the initiator of Sankirtan. One who worships him through Sankirtan is glorious, fortunate. Sheto Shumedha Ar Kubuddhi Shangsha Sarva Jagya Hoite Krishna Nama Jagyasha. Such a person is actually intelligent, whereas others who have but a poor fund of knowledge, Srila Prabhupada's favorite term, or one of the favorite terms, kubuddhi, people of bad intelligence, must endure the cycle of repeated birth and death. Of all sacrificial performances, the chanting of the Lord's holy name is the most sublime. Koti asvameda ek krishnanama sam jekhaye se pashandi donde tare jam. Anyone who says that performing 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices are equal to one time chanting the name of Krishna is a Parshandi, rascal, demon, atheist. He is sure to be punished by Yamaraj. Sankirtan jage kalau Krishna aradhan, sheto shumedha pai Krishna charan. In this age of Kali, the process of worshipping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Another way to look at Yajna being Vishnu is explained by Satyadeva Vashishta, that he, Yajna, means the one from whom all the fruits of our activities, our karma, are dedicated. And furthermore, as is explained in the Upanishads and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone does everything because they love themselves, for the Atma. It's done for the sake of the Atma. And the Atma of all Atmas, Atmatma, the one who dwells in the heart with every living being, is Vishnu. So ultimately, everything we do is for his pleasure. So the results of our activities are offered in Yajna to Vishnu for his pleasure. It's a reification and a purification of the tendency to do everything for ourselves, but knowing that ultimately everything is done for him. I hope that's clear. In various ways, Shankaracharya explains how Yajna refers to Vishnu. In the previous instance, he described Yajna as the name of Vishnu because all yajnas are his very form. And also, he exists as Yajna in order to please all the gods. One of the meanings of the root yaj, as previously stated, is to associate with, and one commentator, Radha Krishna Shastri, takes this and explains this name Yajna is that one who associates the karmas of the jivas with their effects. Here's a nice statement from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khanda, chapter 28, text 25. From the go or cows of Goloka, all sacrifices emanate. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, because milk comes from cows, ghee comes from milk, ghee is required for yajna. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 14, text 31. In the performance of a sacrifice, there are seven transcendental means to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By sacrificing valuable things or eatables, by acting in terms of place, by acting in terms of time, by offering hymns, by going through the priest, by offering gifts to the priests, and by observing the regulative principles. It's a huge topic, huge, huge topic. Nrsimha Purana states, Namaskara smrito yajna sarva yajneshu chotamaha Namaskarena chaikena shashtangena haring vrajet. Among all sacrifices, the sacrifice of offering obeisance is the best. One should offer obeisances placing all eight parts of his body on the ground before Lord Hari. So that's really the essence, isn't it, of all sacrifice, even chanting the holy names. It is to offer obeisances means to demonstrate, or again, even offering obeisances, but it's the attitude. It may not be perfect and complete in itself, but it's the attitude of surrendering ourselves, offering ourselves to Krishna. Atma samarpanam. Vantar kalpatarubhyas chakipa sindhubhya vachapatita anam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.